Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. We have Dr. Eric Pearl with us today. As a doctor, he ran a highly successful chiropractic practice for 12 years until one day when patients began reporting that they felt his hands on them, even though he hadn't physically touched them. Patients.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, good afternoon. We have Dr. Eric Pearl with us today. As a doctor, he ran a highly successful chiropractic practice for 12 years until one day when patients began reporting that they felt his hands on them, even though he hadn't physically touched them. Patients soon reported receiving miraculous healings from serious health concerns. All this occurred when Dr. Pearl simply held his hands near them, and to this day it continues. You will not want to miss this program. It's going to be hot, 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 and even more than the weather. You're now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. A reminder here up front, you'll want to have a pencil and paper in your hand to take some notes, or you can always listen to our archives at the TazandPaulaShow.com website. An international recognized healer, Dr. Eric Pearl, has appeared on countless television programs in the U.S. and around the world, spoken by invitation at the United Nations, presented to a full house at Madison Square Garden, and his seminars have been featured in various publications, including the New York Times, and is most recently featured in the new film, The Living Matrix. Dr. Eric Pearl was a chiropractor with a thriving practice when his life began to change. A series of events led his patients feeling other people in the room as they laid there with their eyes closed, letting their adjustments set in. He began to heal people without even touching them, including healing people with chronic long-term health conditions, including disfigurement. His patients' healings have been documented in 6 books to date, including Eric's own international bestseller, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, soon to be in more than 36 languages, and he's based in Los Angeles. Eric and Reconnective Healing elicit great interest from doctors and medical researchers at hospitals and universities worldwide.
While new research programs are presently underway at multiple facilities under the guidance of such renowned research scientists as Gary Schwartz, PhD, William Tiller, PhD, Constantine Korostov, PhD, and many others. Dr. Eric Pearl travels the globe extensively throughout the year, bringing the light and information of reconnection healing into the planet. Boy, we really need that now, more than ever. He teaches you how to activate and utilize this new all-inclusive spectrum of healing frequencies that allow us to completely transcend energy healing and technique to access a level of healing beyond anything anyone has been able to access prior to now. To date, he has taught his new level of healing to over 60,000 people in more than 60 countries, beginning about a spontaneous generation of healers worldwide. Well, we can't wait to hear about all this, Dr. Pearl. Welcome to our show.
Hey, well, thank you for having me.
Wow.
What is,
this is
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Your work is called The Reconnection, and your story is really, truly amazing. For those skeptics, you've also been backed by such renowned people as Dr. Deepak Chopra and Dr. Wayne Dyer, and is known worldwide. I mean, not only to the people we know, but all over the world.
Yeah, who would have thought?
You know.
Well, I can give you the background story a little bit, if that'll help.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I was practicing as a doctor of chiropractic. I still am a chiropractic doctor by license, although I don't practice that now because I'm on the road 45 weeks a year around the world teaching this work. The book is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, and it's in 33 languages, I believe, so far, and more coming. But what happened was I was, shall we say, awakened in the middle of the night by a bright light that came bursting through my eyes. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it wasn't anything seemingly, spiritual or metaphysical. It was just the lamp next to my bed. It had turned itself on. I had had that lamp for 10 years. It hadn't selected any other propitious occasion to self-ignite, but there it was. And I thought, well, maybe it's some kind of an electrical short, maybe, although don't shorts usually turn things off, and this turned it on. But at the same time, my attention was taken by the fact that I clearly, distinctly felt as if someone was in my home, which is a very uncomfortable feeling to wake up and feel that someone's in your home that you weren't aware of when you went to sleep. So I got up rather bravely with a knife, a can of pepper spray, and my Doberman pincher, and went hunting through the house. I couldn't find anyone, and I talked myself into the only considered, I say, quote-unquote, rational way of explaining it. I said it must be my imagination. So I went back to sleep, even though it didn't feel like my imagination. I got into bed, and I went to turn the lamp off. And you know that little kind of round, corrugated-feeling knob that's on, most every standard lamp in the U.S.?
Yes.
Well, I'm a clicker and a closer. Doors are closed the full way. The toothpaste cap is screwed on tightly. Windows are locked. Everything's clicked into place. Well, I went to turn the knob of the lamp back to turn it off, and it wasn't clicked on. It was only rotated enough to ignite the bulb. And I remember making a mental note thinking to myself, that's not me. That's not something I would have done. But, I'm just going to go to sleep. And I did. That Monday, I went into the office, and 7 of my patients, independent of one another, told me that they felt someone in the room with us, just like as I felt people in my house. Some said they felt as if someone was standing, some said walking, some said running, and 2 of my patients, and I've had for like 10 years, looked me straight in the eye, looked almost embarrassed, lowered their voice, and said it felt as if somebody was flying around near the ceiling. Now, 7 patients, this is my 12th year in practice. No one said this to me before, so 7 patients in one day, you would think that this would have gotten my attention. But other patients are saying to me, I can feel your hands before you touch me. And I'm thinking, oh, yes, sure, you can. Close your eyes. So they'd close their eyes, and I'd hold my hands aimed in different directions. And they could tell me, right shoulder, left ankle, whether I was a few inches away, a few feet, or a few yards. So this sort of became a game because, it was interesting. It was fun, and it was my office, and I guess I could have whatever games I wanted. And as I played with this, patients were telling me that they were seeing lights, white lights and gold lights and violet-colored lights, and they started having involuntary movements of the muscles around their mouth and their forehead muscles. We couldn't move intentionally. Then fingers and feet would start to move, breathing would change, and patients started reporting healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, and vision and hearing they were telling me was clearing up. They were showing me laboratory results where they went into their doctors and their cancer tumors had vanished, you know, and they were scheduled for surgery, and then the surgery was canceled. And patients with children who had cerebral palsy or epilepsy, you know, who had come in to see me, the children weren't having seizures any longer, were walking and running and playing and speaking normally. Not everyone, of course. I mean, just as with medicine, nothing is 100%. I mean, you know, three people can take two aspirin each and, you know, get three different sets of results. But enough people were having these dramatic, I guess is the best word for it, healings, that we began to recognize that something substantial was occurring. Patients would call and say, what did you do? Their doctors would call and say, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything, which went over about as big as Nancy Reagan just saying no to drugs. And soon people started coming in from everywhere saying, I'll have what she had. And then people started asking me to teach it. And that's when I said, you know, you got to be crazy. I can't teach this. I'm standing there waving my hands around in the air looking like a fool. So go outside, wave your hands in the air, look like a fool. Tell me what the neighbors say. But more and more of my patients would tell me that when they got home after their sessions, they would drive up in front of their house and the automatic garage door would open before they could hit the little, you know, button to open it, or they'd walk inside and their lamp or their television would turn itself off or on. They would feel strange sensations in their hands when they were sitting in their living room. They would hold their hands by someone in the family, and the aunt could walk again after the stroke, or the uncle or the cousin regained the use of an arm or a leg. And we began to recognize that once you interact with this, what science calls the reconnective healing spectrum that they feel is here on the planet in this expanded state for the very first time, it seems to either, some of the researchers say, activate something that's been dormant. Others say it seems to bring something into existence. We don't know what happens, but something comes to life, something appears that allows you to interact with this only once you do interact with it. And then we, with a little bit of guidance over the course of a weekend, you can facilitate healings as well as any human being on this planet. Isn't that weird?
So the patients you were having, did they have the capability of working with people in their family after you had worked on them?
That's what we began to discover. Some of them started to report it, and then others started asking to teach it at the same time. And we found that you don't teach healing at this level. I mean, you can teach energy healing, but that's a different thing. Healing at this level takes us way beyond anything we've accessed in energy healing or through our techniques. It allows us to completely transcend our energy healing techniques to access something much more comprehensive. And so at this level, the healing is sort of gifted to you by the exchange and the interaction with another human being, keyword, another human being who is carrying this and interacting with it. And then over, it doesn't take, you know, 3 years or 3 months, but over the course of, you know, a two-day weekend, just to learn how to guide it in, to become familiar with it, to learn different ways to access it and play with it, you're able to facilitate these healings yourself.
So do you believe that you actually activate the person so that they can do that?
It is activated from the interaction with someone else who's bringing it through. It's not about me. As a matter of fact, there are three other trained teachers who are qualified to teach the seminars where I'm not even present, because, I mean, as it is, I'm on the road 45 weeks a year, and for every one seminar I give, there are 12 other countries and cities that want me teaching there. So the three other teachers are Doug DeVito, Christine Upchurch, and Kelly Woodruff, and those are the only three other teachers who are qualified to do this work and trained to do it. Now, I mean, as far as teaching it, because this is not just energy. This is a spectrum of energy, light, and information, and light includes the consciousness, and this is a new level of light and a new level of consciousness about healing that takes us beyond where we've been with the old. Let me see how to best explain this. First of all, let's talk about what the researchers found that this appears to be from the laboratories. And what's happening is they were the first, the people studying this, to say, we think this is here on the planet for the first time. And I said, well, that's a rather bold statement. I was really thinking that's a rather bold statement for a bunch of people who live in science labs, but I didn't say that.
Yeah, really.
So that's a rather bold statement. How can you say something like that? And they said, well, it really makes perfect sense if we understand two basic concepts. Concept A is that we are four-dimensional beings. Now, you know, when most of us went to school, we were taught that we were three-dimensional, height, width, and depth. But Einstein had been telling us since the 1950s what science formally accepted in the year 2000 is that we are four-dimensional beings. We are height, width, depth, and time. So in physics, in quantum physics, they generally tend to illustrate this existence as a bubble. So imagine this small little bubble in this huge, vastless, multidimensional existence of universe. And within this bubble, that's our little four-dimensional existence. So the wall, the cell of the bubble itself, is comprised of the components height, width, depth, and time. Height, width, depth, and time. But the interior has been filled, as we've always been taught, with energy. Everything here has been energy. So our healing techniques in the spiritual world have been energy healing. Yes, we've used terms such as chi, meaning life force and everything else, but that's only because the chi in the Qigong or, you know, different approaches such as that have been the portions of life force that have been energetic, and that's all we recognize, so we consider that to be chi. And we've had different subsets or different fractions of this energy existence. Reiki is different than Qigong. Qigong is different than Tai Chi or, you know, Alpha Beta Delta techniques or whatever we want to call. We access them through different approaches. Joe Ray feels different than, you know, Jin Shin. They're different subsets or fractions of energy. But suddenly, we are discovering that time is shifting, time is moving faster. This began to kick into a higher speed somewhere around 1987. Many people correlate it with when the stars came into a certain pattern referred to as the harmonic convergence, but whether that was it or whether that wasn't, time is moving faster, but not the way we think of faster, like a car going from point A to point B at a higher speed in one direction. It's moving faster in all directions at once. So imagine that there's one central point and suddenly arrows are shooting out from all directions, up, down, sideways, every angle at once. In other words, time is expanding, which means that our little four-dimensional bubble or playground is opening up and expanding. Where can it go? Well, further and further out into the universe. So it is now encompassing more of what has always existed, so therefore is timeless, but has not been here on the Earth before, so the researchers are explaining that it is new to us. Now, I will say that this royally pisses off a lot of the New Age metaphysical world, whose egos want everything to be old so they can claim prior knowledge of it and already be familiar. You know, I remember this from my past life in Atlantis or Lemuria when I was Cleopatra for the 31st time. Well, guess what? Sometimes something is just new. And isn't that wonderful? Because we are also here for what's new. So it's new meaning in reference to us, yet it's timeless, as is everything from the universe.
Dr. Pearl, let me ask you, when you do this, like if you work on yourself, I don't know, maybe you stumped your toe or you did something and you work on yourself, does your body feel different since you've been able to bring in this particular kind of connection into your body? Do you feel different during the day or anything like that? Or,
you know, you evolve. So when you pay attention to it, you mm-hmm. absolutely feel different. You feel the vibrations through your body. You feel temperature changes in wonderful ways. Sometimes you'll get involuntary little movements of your fingers, for instance, or something inside, like sometimes in the palate, you know, inside, you know, the back, you know, past the roof of my mouth, it'll feel muscles begin to, like, you know, ripple or vibrate. It's very fascinating what happens with this. And a lot of the research has demonstrated that it changes the tissue in our body. It even changes our DNA. There are now 4 studies out that show how reef connective healing affects the DNA. It seems to heal pre-existing weaknesses in the DNA, and it much more rapidly and comprehensively heals DNA and damaged DNA studies than any form of energy healing that we've known, because what happens is, as our bubble of existence expands out into the universe, we no longer are accessing just those little fractions or subsets of energy. We are not even accessing now just the entirety of energy, but a spectrum that's comprised of energy and then expands into this continuum beyond that of light and information, levels of light and information that we haven't had here before, which is part of why, you know, lots of different researchers around the world, internationally renowned researchers, are studying reconnective healing to figure out just what it is, because it's so comprehensive that it includes anything and everything we've ever seen in the field of energy healing, allowing us to completely transcend our techniques, which makes it easier for us to bring in something more comprehensive. The healings tend to be fairly instantaneous and tend to last for the lifetime of the person. So, for instance, Dr. William Tiller, who's a professor emeritus from Stanford University, he's known for many different things, including the Tiller-Einstein model of negative entropy, which sounds very complicated. It's really quite simple. The only word we really have to understand is entropy. Entropy is the natural tendency for things to break down. In human beings, it's the aging process. In machinery, it's the way things break down or fall into disarray or disorganization. And what increases entropy is speed. The more, you know, if you drive a public bus around at 120 miles, you know, an hour, you know, every day, it won't have the same lifespan as if you drive it at, you know, 45 miles an hour. Now, what's interesting, though, is the Tiller-Einstein model of negative entropy. It sounds complicated. It's simple. Tiller means William Tiller. Einstein means Albert Einstein. Model means, well, hey, it's a model. And negative entropy means the opposite of entropy. In other words, what's been discovered is that once we hit the speed of light, entropy reverses itself. Degeneration becomes regeneration. Disorganization becomes reorganization. Dis-ease has a tendency to come back into a state of balance or healing or ease. Now, what does that have to do with the body? Well, today we know that the term light is not just spiritual or metaphysical, but we know, for example, from the work from Dr. Chris Popp, that the DNA in each of our cells emits a specific level of light. It's different for human beings and cows and goats and donkeys and goldfish. And we know that, or it's generally believed in quantum physics, that when our health is diminishing, the light is dimming. And we see correlation that when our health is coming back up, the light is coming back up. So this light, these biophotons emitting from us as if we're candles exchanging light with one another, is what allows for our systems to consistently regenerate the cell on a cellular level, an essence level. So within the body, our cells live longer, they're healthier, they're more youthful, and yet we don't exist in a vacuum. We're born here, you know, as spiritual beings having our human experience, and part of our lesson is learned from living in the illusion, the costume, the mask of being individuals, you know, by ourselves. In reality, we're all connected. We're all part of this field, what science today refers to as zero-point field. So as we access the reconnective healing spectrum and interact with other human beings, our light returns to a high vibration, and our interaction in this field serves, in essence, as a reminder to the other person of their natural light vibration. Something triggers inside of them, and shall we say, figuratively speaking, a voice goes off and says, hey, I remember this. This is me vibrating healthy. This is me vibrating as light. I think I'll do it again. And as they return to their natural light optimal vibration, anything pretty much denser than light, which tends to include most of our health challenges, has very little to hold on to, if anything at all. And so if appropriate, as appropriate on that person's life course, these health challenges, these densities simply fall away. And in reality, healing is just that simple. And anything more complicated than that is designed to sell us something.
Now, can people work on themselves?
Of course we can do self-healing. But, you know, so many things are paradoxical in nature. When we are working on ourselves, we become attached to our own need and desire. Just like when you're working on a child, you become very attached to your desired end result, when it's specifically more so when it's your child. And yet, that's part of the reason why a skilled brain surgeon won't work on their own child, right? Too much attachment, and they don't always allow themselves to flow as naturally as possible. It takes the ability of someone to really detach, you know, as Deepak Chopra in one of his pinnacle books, I believe, called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, speaks about the law of detachment that allows things to flow. So the book is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. It's not called Heal Yourself and Heal Others. It's Heal Others, Heal Yourself, because what happens is that as we focus on helping to facilitate healings for others, that's when we are least attached to ourselves and most open for allowing the gifts of the universe to flow. Let me give you an example of this, something more simple. When these healings first started happening, my patients were coming in to see a chiropractor, and I thought I was one. Now, you can't really double-blind to study a whole lot more than that. So no one was anticipating or believing or doing visualizations or expecting or attaching to the healings. And the healings just started. But later, because these healings were so very distinctly dramatic, when people started coming in from halfway around the world, oftentimes I would walk into the room to see the next patient, and they were not there because they wanted to be, but they were pushed, pulled, or dragged by a well-meaning friend or relative. And they'd sit there in front of me, arms crossed, sour look on their face, and say, I just want you to know, I think this is a pile of garbage, that you're a quack, I wouldn't be here, my husband and wife didn't make me come, and I don't believe in it. And I'd say, fine. I said, you don't have to believe in it. So here's what happened. For some reason or other, you ended up leaving the country where you live in, taking a week in Los Angeles away from your work. You know what? Worse things happen to people than that. So why don't you say to yourself, maybe this is real, maybe it isn't, but here's a rare opportunity to lie down in the middle of the day and rest your eyes, so take it. And these were the people who would have some of the most dramatic healings. If anyone didn't have the healing, it was not the person who didn't believe in it. It was the person who believed in it too much. It was the person who came in saying, I know this works, it has to work. I've read every book ever written on healing. I sleep with them under my pillow. I've staged myself from full moon to full moon, walking only in clockwise circles, and this month has a blue moon, so I got to moon everyone an extra time. My family's all praying for me, quick, heal me now. And that neediness, that attachment, became the constriction, became the limitation. But the person who did not believe in it, well, it's kind of hard to become attached to something if you don't believe it exists in the first place. We're not teaching reconnective healing in the largest hospital for treating children with cancer in the Middle East called Tel HaShomer, which sees children from Israel and from the surrounding Arab countries as well. We're teaching the children how to do healing with one another. And we're teaching the doctors and the parents how to do the work in a separate class. And we are teaching the parents to work on children of other parents so they can be more relaxed and comfortable in allowing the flow. And we're also beginning to step into accessing the prison systems to teach the inmates how to facilitate healings so that when they are focused on actually helping other people instead of themselves, they'll begin to receive their own healing in the process and evolution, and it will also allow them to recognize a value and a gift they have to offer when they're coming, when they come back and rejoin us.
Now, that brings a question to mind. Does this help addictive personalities? Because a lot of prisoners have addictive personalities or are in for drugs and that type of thing.
A lot of everyone has addictive personalities, and healing is about balance. There is nothing that this will not work with, and yet it is not the illness that has the healing. it's the human being. It's not the health challenge that has the healing. It's the human being. It's the individual. So three people can come in with the same diagnosis and the same set of symptoms and receive three different sets of results according to what is appropriate on their lifespan. Now, this is not unlike medicine, for example. I mean, the fact is three people can take a couple of aspirin. One person's headache will go away. One person's stomach will bleed. One person will get Reye's syndrome. And a few other people will get some various unanticipated results according to the variation of who we are. We like to attribute it to our chemistry. Maybe it's our chemistry. Maybe it's also our life course. Maybe some of us, we've got lessons to live with holding on to headaches for a while, and our headaches are caused by an imbalance in our system, not a blood aspirin deficiency. So maybe we don't have to be swallowing the pills. But it's the same with reconnective healing. The difference is that in allopathic care, for instance, as a medical doctor, when a patient comes into you, you're most likely negligent if you don't diagnose, you know, or attempt to diagnose. Unfortunately, in the energy healing world, they've tended to follow this pseudo-medical model of looking for the problem, whether it's, you know, through pendulums or muscle testing or asking their guides or trying to become medical intuitives, because all of that feeds the ego. And then once you find the problem, your ego pumps itself up and says, now I am going to, using my special techniques and talents, fix the problem. But, you know, finding the problem isn't necessarily a benefit. It is if you're using medicine or surgery and you've got to zero in on what you want to deal with. Those are for cures and treatments and therapies. But healing is about balance. So if you find a problem, for instance, is in the liver, and you go and try to put the healing over the liver, you don't know that the liver caused the problem any more than the pituitary or the big toe. When we step into healing, it's time for us to transcend the ego-based approach of trying to find and fix the problem and rise to the level of becoming the witness and the witness, the observer and the observed, or the seer and the seen. And as we observe, as we learn to bring ourselves to a higher consciousness, to observe without judgment, we find that we become a catalyst for the body vibrating at a higher level of balance. And our true gift isn't the ego food of being able to say, look what I've done, but it's the gift of being able to observe the perfection and the beauty as the universe orchestrates the return to balance back for that person in front of us. And in our witnessing, in our seeing, we enter into a higher state of consciousness or a state of knowingness. And in that elevated state of knowingness and consciousness from being allowed to witness, we allow ourselves to see even more in the next witnessing. So in other words, in our seeing lies our knowingness. In our knowingness lies the ability to see even more. And in that interaction, we step into our mastery and evolution as human beings. And by effect, we help facilitate balance and healing within the people with whom we interact.
Now, Let me ask you.
I was going to say...
This is the funniest interview I've had in a while.
No, we're on two different phones, so we can't see
each
other.
Okay.
I was just going to say, did you believe or study any alternative healings besides your chiropractic work before you got into this?
No, this was the last thing I expected, I think, consciously. I grew up like any other normal kid, and you know, I went to school, I went to college, I became a doctor. That's what I thought life would be. Once I had some friends, you know, got together and said they were going to go to this presentation. I remember when I was a student in chiropractic school, and we went one evening and for, you know, an hour or two's presentation where I think someone spoke about Reiki or something, and I thought, well, you know, that looked interesting, but you know, that was it. I saw them talk, and that was it. Never thought about it anymore. I was busy. I was a doctor. I was doing things. My practice was very successful for 12 years. You know, I went home on a Friday thinking I was a chiropractor. I came back in on a Monday, and I was something else. My parents always told me I was something else, but this was probably not what they had in mind. So after these healings started happening, that's when I started looking and studying and reading. reading what was written about healing techniques, and healers were coming to me from all around the state and then all around the world hearing about this work and all coming in saying that they were sent to teach me. And so they would show me how to do this, how to do that. This one would show me how to protect myself in a white flame. Someone else would show me how to protect myself in a purple flame. Someone else would show me how to move my hands in a clockwise circle because the clockwise would bring in the good energy. Someone else would show me how to take the negative energy and shake it off or spray it off with alcohol. And I would, you know, protect myself with this god and that archangel. And the more things I was doing that I was learning from where we had been, the less the healings were coming through, until it became very clear that every time we do something to protect ourselves, we bring into the equation a consciousness of fear. Every time we put on a special crystal or necklace or amulet to make ourselves more, we step into a consciousness of being less than or lack or limitation. And only when I released all these things did the healings come back up again. In other words, we cannot facilitate a gift that we're not willing to accept ourselves. We cannot stand in fear, lack, and limitation and facilitate healing when healing resides in love, oneness, unity, light, prosperity, and abundance. Every time we put on a necklace that's supposed to protect us from something, we're putting on a consciousness of fear. Every time we wash our hands in front of a mirror and we straighten the necklace, we're straightening out our fear, reminding ourselves that there's something to be afraid of. At night when we get in the bed and we take that fear-based protective necklace off and put it next to our bed to keep our fear safe at night, there's an oxymoron for you. So we can put it on fresh in the morning and start our next day based in fear because we're healers. Well, there are people teaching courses today that are telling you that you're supposed to sit there and pretend to zip up your energy field so that you're not attacked by negative entities and, get this, so that you don't gain weight. Now, if you're worried about gaining weight, your focus isn't on healing in the first place. Don't zip up your energy field. Zip up your refrigerator and your mouth. But if we're focusing on healing, let's, for God's sakes, and I mean God's sake, focus on healing. And the only way to do that is to step through these fears that we have. Pick them up one at a time. If you're told you're supposed to wear your special healing colors or clothes, don't put on black. And don't cheat. Don't put on purple underwear. Wear all black. And the worst thing that could happen is you'll die. And then if you do, you'll be all right anyhow. But if we don't die, we'll have just walked through one conscious fear. And each time we step through one conscious fear, 1,001 of these other fears fall away, and we stop worrying about zipping up our fields and spraying ourselves off with alcohol, and we become more and more the natural light that we are. And light needs nothing to protect itself from, because darkness doesn't exist. If it did, we could sweep it up, put it into a paper bag, and stick it out with the garbage. But darkness is only that place where we haven't allowed ourselves to shine as the light that we are. And once we do, we become a reminder to everyone else. And just as you take a candle to light another candle, the candle doesn't stand there in fear. The flame doesn't spray itself off with alcohol because it would extinguish itself. It simply stands in its truth, integrity, and beauty of who and what it is, and inspires the next flame to ignite and the next. And when we're willing to stop trying to do the healings, but instead to become the light in the healing, we will find that we inspire the healing by our very presence within the people with whom we interact.
Now, Dr. Pearl, I need to ask you this. How long did it take you to discover how to pass on this gift of healing to others and so that they could do it?
Well, after my patients started reporting, that they had been receiving it, I finally let myself get talked into teaching a class of 25 people here in Los Angeles. Where are you based out of?
The Bay Area, San Jose.
Uh-huh, that's right. Sorry. Here at the Learning Annex. Well, I did in San Francisco also, in Los Angeles, but the first one was in L.A. We taught 25 people. I let people feel it, talked about the history of it, released them out into the planet, and I said, let me know what happens. And the phone started ringing off the hook. So now I'm on the road about 45 weeks a year. I've taught over close to 70,000 people how to do this work. As a matter of fact, this weekend, October 1, 2, and 3, we're teaching a seminar once a year. I try once a year anyway, to teach it in Los Angeles. So we're teaching it at the Hilton Hotel at Universal City here in Los Angeles. And what happens is it's Friday night. It's a three-hour presentation. We talk about the history, the theory, how this evolved. We share a lot of the scientific research about it. And we bring some volunteers up from the audience, at least one or more, to give some live demonstrations of the healing so we can see the reality of this before our eyes. And we'll give everyone the opportunity to feel this in your hands. Now, that's open for the public. And as a matter of fact, I received an email that said that I'm supposed to let you know that if people mention that they heard about it on your program, they're allowed to come to Friday night with their guests free of charge, but they need to mention your show. So I'm just letting you know that.
That's in Los Angeles.
that's in Los Angeles. Just, yeah. But Saturday and Sunday, now that's a serious working seminar. What I mean by that is do not come if you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, om, stamp our feet, ring bells, and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, because it won't happen that way. This really is my personality. I am focused. I don't get any prettier. What happens is there's a stage in the center of the room, chairs on one side, massage tables on the other, one massage table for every four people. We demonstrate a level of the work from the stage, then we go to massage tables in groups of two or four, and I walk around each of the tables, and so does our international team of trained teaching assistants. And, for instance, we might take your hand and we'll say, now let's glide over here, see what you're able to tune in the way of the sensation. And as you begin to tune something in and feel it with your palm, you watch and you'll see the person on the table, their finger or their feet or their eyes will begin to rapidly move or dart back and forth. And we'll say, now glide over here, tell me when you tune in a different sense, and you'll start to feel something there. And now a different part of their body will move differently, and you'll start to correlate what you're feeling with what you're seeing, and you'll begin to recognize that you're accessing something. Then we'll go back to the chairs, talk about what we did, demonstrate the next level, and go back to the table. And by the end of the weekend, I can pretty much make you two promises. A, you'll be able to facilitate just after one weekend, not a year, not 6 months, you'll be able to facilitate pretty much anything and everything that I can in the way of healing. If not as well, then better. And you will be able to facilitate any level of healing that any human being on this planet can bring about, whether they change their last name to Of God and move to a church in Brazil, or whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet and fed grains of seed, each one ridden up the mountain on the back of an individual pack llama. It doesn't matter the story. It just matters our willingness to transcend the story. This is about giving us the ability to completely demystify the healing process. The only challenge is that of self-judgment and ego as to whether or not we're willing to allow it to be demystified. This allows us to access a comprehensive spectrum of healing so we can transcend the techniques and the rituals and bring about something more impactful, instantaneous, and lasting for people. The challenge is whether or not we're willing to transcend the techniques. And if we're not willing to transcend our techniques to bring more for the people who come to see us, we need to ask ourselves why. If we're not willing to demystify the healing process and allow it to become clear and transparent for everyone, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to ask ourselves why, then we need to ask ourselves why. We're not willing to ask ourselves why, because it is within that answer that lies the key to us accessing our own mastery in the world of healing and evolution.
Now, have you run across anyone else independently without going to your class has had that this healing energy come into them as it did to you?
In the beginning, I thought that lots of people would be able to do this. That's why I was speaking to so many of them and listening with them. And it turned out that many people who came in who said they can do this weren't able to do pretty much of anything. Other people were healers in their own right, but this was not what they were bringing through. So although that didn't make sense to me, pretty much this door, I guess I was the doorway. I wasn't the gift, I'm the door. I mean, the fact is, where you're sitting right now, if you look at your door, and suddenly Oprah Winfrey walks in, you're not going to go, wow, what an incredible door, you know? Oprah would be the gift. So let's not confuse the two. I'm not the gift. And as of that moment, Oprah is there for everyone in the room, right? Not just the door. Well, so for one pinpoint in time, one pinpoint moment in time, I was the door. It came in, and it didn't seem to be anywhere else. And yet, at the same time, while all these advanced masters and grandmaster healers are coming to me, not accessing this, is synchronistically, my patients, most of whom had no interest or background in healing, were accessing it. Even the ones who did have backgrounds in healing were accessing this, and it was demonstrating that it was bringing everyone who had backgrounds way beyond anything that masters and grandmaster healers were able to do, and bringing people with no background in healing to that same level. In other words, it doesn't matter when you learn this work whether you know nothing about healing, something, or everything. We all rise to a fully comprehensive level of this that's beyond anything we can access via technique, because the techniques themselves have been both the help and the limitation. Now, again, this sounds a little bit paradoxical. It's not, any more than if we look at a simple earthly physical example, such as training wheels in a bicycle. You know, if you have a very small child who wants to climb up onto a very big bicycle, there's nothing more valuable than a good set of training wheels, and you put them on the bike. And once your child has mastered the bicycle with training wheels, what do? Well, of course, you remove the training wheels. Now, the child might not want the training wheels to come off because they'll feel a little unsafe, and if we weren't around, that child might go back to the training wheel store, where the person who owns the store will be more than happy to sell your child a second, a third, and a fourth set of training wheels. They might muscle test them and tell them that their guides say they need the 24-karat gold set of training wheels or the ones with the infrared lights. But, you know, you look out your window, and if your child's riding down the street with 24 sets of training wheels that they've mastered the bicycle with training wheels on many levels, but they haven't mastered the bicycle until the training wheels come off. And we know this. Our energy healing techniques have been like training wheels, very valuable for allowing us to begin to discover what's here in the world of healing. And our teachers today are very good at keeping us entrenched in multiple sets of training wheels. They say, come back and learn more, come back and learn more, write me another check, my husband loves to deposit it, my guides say you can learn the next level of the technique after you get here. But the masters throughout the ages, they're the ones who have explained to us, don't come back and learn more. First of all, you're not true. True mastery isn't something that you're taught. It's something that you allow yourself to access from being exposed to this consciousness. And the gift of the technique, just like the gift of the training wheels, the gift of the technique comes only in its transcendence. Now, the masters have known this throughout the ages. Our teachers in the healing world today seem to either not know this or for some reason not want us to know this, but it's time that we don't wait any longer. It's time for us to become the teachers of the teachers. It's time for us to become the light that lights another light. And just as we said, a candle simply inspires the next candle to light.
Dr. Peel, you know, I was privileged to hear an interview where you described how the person, if they were to hold their hand in front of them holding a child, and then kind of go from that direction. Could you share that with our listeners so that they can hear that too?
Just say that one more time.
I said you were describing how it would feel.
Feeling the hand if you were holding. Okay. One of the things that we do, so for instance, if you come to the Hilton, if you come to the Hilton tomorrow night, at a certain point during the presentation, what we'll do is we'll help you begin to feel this, because the teaching assistants will let you feel it close with them. We can begin to access a part of this from the field even while we're on the air right now. So I'll take your question and we'll turn it into that a little bit.
Okay.
So you might need to hold your phones in your ear by your shoulder in order to do this, or you could just try it with one hand. But imagine that you're holding maybe a 3 or 4 year old child by the rib cage, just in front of you, just a little bit, you know, to, you know, if, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches ahead of you. Feel the weight of that child in your hand, so your muscles begin to support that child, so you've got a little bit of firmness or tension in your hands. Now, as we bring that in, we begin to step into a little more conscious awareness of the way our palms feel. You could also imagine as if, well, let's say that there's this tiny little hook in the palms of your hands and there's a rubber band attached to them. If you start to pull or stretch that rubber band, imagine what it would feel like. The further you would stretch the rubber band, the more intense you would feel the sensation, because the more the resistance. But holding our hands in that crisp pattern, or imagining the rubber band, or imagining maybe a suctioning between our palms, or magnets pulling or pushing, allows us to begin to step into a heightened awareness of this. We could always do this anyway, but you see, when you're interacting with the reconnective healing spectrum, something changes in the room. For instance, Dr. William Tiller, who we talked about, Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona, Dr. Konstantin Kuratov from the University of St. Petersburg in Russia, and others, they've done measurements in the room. It's been determined that although energy healing releases a certain amount of energy in the room, the amount of what's termed excess free thermodynamic energy that's released with reconnective healing in the room could only be produced if the room's temperature were raised to, get this, over 300 degrees centigrade. 300 degrees centigrade. The space becomes conditioned and changed. So when we allow ourselves to access these feelings of sensation that we've been able to access as a child or before, when we're interacting with the reconnective healing spectrum, everything seems to open up and expand. This part of the lesson of being able to access this is overcoming the ego of self-entitlement. A lot of us want to say, oh, I've been doing it already, or I was reconnected in a dream, and well, actually, no. Part of the gift of being able to access this comes only from the willingness for us to share a space with someone else who has already learned how to access it, because that is what allows us to truly reach the next level of transcending our ego of self-entitlement. This is why we teach this work all around the world. If you go to thereconnection.com, you'll see the schedule of seminars. By the way, the Los Angeles seminar will be translated, simultaneously translated into Spanish. So will the Miami seminar that I will be doing in the beginning of December. And there's one more seminar that we're teaching October 22nd, which is in Chicago. But once a year, we do a conference where we bring in researchers and speakers from around the world. And this will be the following weekend, not this weekend at the Level 1-2 seminar, but the next weekend also here in Los Angeles at the Hilton in Studio City. We're having the 8th annual U.S. Mastery Conference with speakers including Dr. Bruce Lipton, who I know you know of, who's written The Biology of Belief and his new book, Spontaneous Evolution, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who are Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, John Holland, The Power of the Soul, Danian Brinkley, who's written, you know, the different books from the light. As you know, he's been struck by lightning a couple of times and has come back talking about, you know, life on the other side, and insights and learnings. And to complement him, Dr. Raymond Moody, who's the father of the life after death experience, will be presenting. Dr. William Tiller will be there. And Terry Cole Whitaker, who talks about love, prosperity, abundance as our divine right and living our bliss, practices that produce happiness, love, and prosperity. And if you'd like to be involved in some of the research from these renowned researchers, if you call or email us at thereconnection.com, info@thereconnection, we will you know, talk to us and say you want to participate in the research, and we'll let you know if you can do that and how you can do that.
Great.
So is your schedule up on your website too?
It is. Everything's on thereconnection.com, the international schedule, the calendar of events. And again, Friday night will be free for those who mentioned that they heard this on your program. It's best if you let us know that you're coming so we can make sure you have seats. You can certainly come with, you know, a couple dozen of your close friends as a surprise, but then you forfeit the right to be upset if the room is full. It is a ballroom. It does have, you know, a limited size to it. Most likely there'll be room, but it's a good idea to let us know in advance. It starts at 7. I suggest that you try to show up, you know, around 6:15 or so, just to make sure that you get in on time and get a nice seat.
Now, are you planning on doing any more workshops in California next year?
I will probably do one again next year in Los Angeles. Probably. I haven't done one in San Francisco for a while, and yes, I could be talked into that and doing it there instead of L.A. It's just we've sort of been set up to do L.A.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll talk you into it. So
I love San Francisco. It's a little easier with our office staff being based in Los Angeles. Most of the time, I'm all over the world. You know, most of the time, I finished the conference, you know, Sunday the 8th, and I'm on a plane flying out that very same night, and I don't return here until just before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
We'll be
now,
in South America, Japan, Europe.
You're the teachers that you've taught, they're teaching it also.
There are only three other teachers who can teach this.
Okay. Is there schedule on your website also?
They're also right there. If you go to thereconnection.com, as soon as you get onto the main page, you'll see a little pop-up that talks about the conference, so you can get information on that. Or you can go to the upper right-hand corner of that pop-up and disappear it. And then you're on the website. You can look for... there's a practitioner directory to find practitioners in your areas, or you can click onto seminars and events. And when you get onto seminars and events, you can look right down to the seminar and event schedule.
Oh, great.
And it will give you the calendar when the seminars will be in your area.
Well, it's been a delight having you with us today, and we really thank you for taking the time out of your schedule, because your schedule seems unbelievably busy.
It's a bit intense. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. And as you can tell, I enjoy speaking. So this is fun.
Well, we remind everybody to get on reconnection.com and look at the website.
Reconnection.com. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll
thank
go somewhere
you
else.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh,
thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Dr. Pierre.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, be with us next Thursday, because we're going to have some fun times. We're going to have some live music.
To the website to hook in with everything, and it's reconnection.com. We look forward to